Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast." Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast." Maybe throw in a please at the end.
Think about what you actually want in a role and in a position and where your strengths lie. For me, I sat down and I wrote all of that down, and I realized that what I needed most in my life was I needed to be able to see a career path and growth, and I needed flexibility to be able to be with my family. And then I started thinking about what my strengths were and what I enjoyed doing, and that's how I even started a job search of what my next jump was going to be after clinical care.
On the show today, we talked to Lauren Keeley. She's a physical therapist, but is now working really in a non-clinical role. Just taking a look at where PTs live outside of the clinic. Program is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs looking for a certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find Johnny and his team online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome to the show. Today's episode is going to do something a little bit different, highlighting some individuals who are physical therapists, but they're working really in non-clinical roles. Got the connection for today's episode from Meredith Kasten, created the nonclinicalpt.com. Great resource for physical therapists as well as OTs and SLP professionals looking for guidance and support as they transition or maybe look for positions from direct patient care into exciting non-clinical careers. And that's who we're talking to today. Lauren Keeley is on the program. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So your brief story, started your career, started adulting in accounting, then decided to fork in the road, go to school, the PT school, after not loving accounting. I guess that's safe to say, right?
Safe to say, yep.
Super involved in PT school, expected to love just being a clinician, but didn't enjoy the lack of flexibility, maybe some other things about the profession, and decided to go a different route and combine your business and your healthcare degrees. And now what do you get to do?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. So now I work for a Catholic nonprofit healthcare organization that is in Colorado and Montana. And I lead their innovation and virtual health ventures as they try to, you know, stay relevant in the changing marketplace of healthcare.
That sounds like a cool title, Program Lead of Innovation and Virtual Health. It sounds like you get to test out a lot of stuff that maybe is just coming around to, you know, mainstream, and you get to see how to apply it to healthcare and to patient care. Is that a little bit of what you do or what?
Yeah, so that's a little bit about what I do. It sounds glamorous, but it is also very hard. It's very hard because, change management and introducing new tools. And the team that I work on is pretty small. There's four of us. And so we are just the salmon swimming upstream at this healthcare organization. But it is really fun, and it's a great career. And I'm very happy where I landed.
So whenever you're doing something like innovation and the type of role that you have, if I asked you what's a normal day for you, I'm assuming they would say there's no such thing as a normal day. That's similar to my life as well. And I think most people's existence, even if you are in clinical care, every day is pretty much different. But what? Give me some high level things. Like try to paint me a picture, but I know it's hard, of what sort of things you get to do, and then we'll get into who you get to do it with.
Yeah, great question. So yes, every day is a little bit different. I manage multiple projects and initiatives at the same time. I would say one of the things that I get to do is figure out what patients really want and how they want to access their care. And our big goal is to increase access and experience for our patients. So right now I am working on direct-to-consumer video visits. So basically a doctor on demand type of model where you can access your provider just through your smartphone when and where you want. Another partnership that I manage is we have a partnership with Lyft. We know that transportation could be a barrier to getting care. So we have a partnership with Lyft where we can offer Lyft rides to our patients to get them to and from their appointments. So yeah, just managing those relationships, trying to figure out what's next on the horizon, working across multiple different teams at the organization to get these initiatives up and running, and just trying to think on our of what's coming next.
I like that. I mean, you're a physical therapist, whether you're in a clinical role or not, and you're still thinking, how do I get the patient, you're starting with, how do I even get the patient to their appointment? And then what other things can I bring to these individuals? How can I help them even further? Outside of the clinical environment, you're able to tie in your knowledge from, you know, PT school and when you were treating into this kind of super innovative role. I love that. Next question, who are the people you're working with? Are you the only clinician on your team?
Yes, I am the only clinician on my team. And I tend to bring empathy for the provider. So I know that we talk about the patients a lot of times, but the providers are continually overwhelmed with new requirements of documentation and just constant change. And I think that I bring that voice of, not only does this need to be easy and enjoyable for our patients, but we need to make it easy and enjoyable for our providers too, because they're also facing burnout. Yeah. So I am the only clinician, and I tend to bring that voice to the team.
I think that's really important, because if the clinician suffers, I don't care what programs you have in place. If they're not able to carry it out, it doesn't matter, right? So you're able to actually look through a clinical lens, and I love that. The reason I'm able to ask that question is that's similar to my role with Fox Rehabilitation. There's a lot of times I'm in a communications meeting and I'm the only person who's a physical therapist in the room. And I'm able to say, hey, that sounds really great, but I don't think we're ever going to be able to implement that. And here's reason 1, 2, and 3 why. And then we go right back to the drawing board and go, great. It needs to work for the client and it needs to work for the clinician as well. So I like that. I talked in your intro a little bit about you just not loving being a clinician, and that's got to be a hard thing to deal with in terms of like guilt, I imagine. Like when people ask what, you know, what you're up to and you tell them, how does that come up and how do you answer that?
Yeah, it was I accept it now. And again, I love where I've landed, but it was a really tough road, especially just personally, because I, as you said, I was very involved in PT school. I was so passionate, and I just had this expectation that I was going to love being a clinician. And I did for a while, but the catalyst that really made me start thinking outside of the box of clinical care was when I became a mom. And the lack of flexibility that just exists in a traditional clinical role didn't allow me to feel like I could have a good balance of a full-time career and being a mom. And so that's where I went back to the drawing board and thought, well, how do I combine these 2 degrees that I have that also allows me to really focus on my family?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of guilt there because, you know, I was still paying back my loans at that time of, you know, wow, I spent so much money on this and now I'm not even quote unquote doing it. So yeah, and you always feel like a little bit of a fish out of water. And it wasn't until I left clinical care and started talking about leaving clinical care that so many other people reached out to me with the same exact complaints or frustrations about being a clinician and asked how I made the leap. So it kind of just seems like it might just be a taboo subject that no one is talking about.
No, I agree. And that completely resonates with me as well. My story's similar. I liked being a clinician. I worked in orthopedics and pediatrics. I just had this other thing, this podcast and this communications background that I loved putting together, smushing together. That's a technical term, Lauren, right there, smushing. I liked putting them together and I loved the way that felt, but I felt the same thing. I felt that guilt when it came up. I felt people looked at me kind of like, why'd you do that? Why'd you spend all this money to lead? You left radio, you spent all this money to be a PT, and now you host podcasts and you teach continuing education courses, you moderate those, and you work on other communication projects. Well, why'd you do that? And for me, once I started doing it, more and more I did it, the more I realized, hey, I love this, and I'm the one that's got to get out of bed on Monday morning, and I like what I do, so I've got to start ignoring those things. But it is hard to ignore when people kind of give you that that stink eye of them not seeing what you see. I've just started probably 2 years in being okay with getting that look from people.
Yeah. I know the exact look that you're talking about.
Yeah. That sideways glance. And you're like, hey, listen, I'm happy, living the dream, having fun, feeling like I'm still helping people. So, but it is, it's a normal feeling, a feeling of guilt to get that as well. So what things look like in the future? Give us some cool innovation, virtual health. That's your title. Like, what are some big, big, broad strokes on the horizon? You're talking about Lyft. You're talking about maybe, you know, meeting a doctor virtually. What are some other things that you think the profession is going to be able to interact with in the future?
I think telehealth is going to be our biggest push. And so I think PTs need to think about how they're going to do exams without physically touching a patient. And it's a totally different way of treating. But our generation is the Amazon generation, and we are used to getting things, you know, in prime time very quickly. And so I don't think people want to go to appointments anymore. They want to be able to be seen and feel better with just a click of a button on their smartphone. And so our knowledge as PTs is going to become so valuable, but we need to figure out how to get away from the traditional model of, I need to see you twice a week for the next 12 weeks.
Yeah, many smart PTs were saying it long before the telehealth conversation really hit mainstream. But I know I remember Sharon Dunn saying at a conference I heard her talk, she said, listen, what's between your ears is the most important thing you can bring to a patient. That's the thing you want to be able to make your living on, is your brain, not your fingers. And telehealth is going to put that to the test. I love that. You're talking about Amazon. We're the Amazon primetime generation. I haven't talked about it yet on this show. I'll do it now. If you've got an Amazon Alexa, or if you've got a Google Home device, if you say, hey, Alexa, launch PT Pintcast, you're going to get my show coming out of the speaker for you right there, hands-free. We're just morphing into that. That's the thing. And we need to meet our audience where they are, much like you led the show with that Lyft program you're trying to put into place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I guarantee you it's only a matter of time before you can say, Alexa, I'm having back pain. Connect me to a physical therapist, and someone will be available to chat with you right away.
Hang on right now, Lauren. I'm actually going to put you on hold. I'm going to actually go develop that real quick before someone steals our idea. That's how fast things work, right? If someone has we're shortening the time between aha moment and delivering it to the public. That time is now completely shrunk, and someone could be listening to this and say, hey, I'm going to beat them to the punch and do it. So having someone in a healthcare system like yourself, in terms of running programs at innovation and virtual health, that's not only needed, it's vital at this point if you want to compete in the future.
Well, I also think we are up against, you know, healthcare systems are up against the Amazons and the Googles and the Walgreens, who have partnered with Doctor on Demand, where if you buy a package of Mucinex, you get a free Doctor on Demand visit. So the competition is just changing. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon is probably already developing this. So I think we're already too late, Jimmy.
Plus, you know, Amazon Alexa is always listening to everything we say. They're probably just stealing our ideas as we talk about it right now.
And collecting all the healthcare data and analyzing it in really fancy ways.
It's frightening. It's very 1984. If you haven't read that book, I highly suggest it, because it'll give you a look on how much of our information is being collected. And at first, it doesn't seem like a big deal, and then it might be. But if you can channel it and use it for the powers of good, that's what we want to focus on right now. So looking forward to what comes up in the future. And I think you're right. I tell people all the time when they're asking me if they should start a podcast, I say, keep in mind, you're not competing. If you're a physical therapist looking to start a podcast, you're not just competing with my show and Eric Meraz and Danny Matez and everybody else. You're competing with the world, right? I mean, so this show has been ranked in the top 200 on Amazon in science and medicine, not just for PT. You've got to compete with the world, and you've got to go into every game, every project knowing that, and bring your A game, or you're going to lose, and losing means you go out of, you become extinct.
Exactly.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Want to thank Brooks Rehabilitation, their Institute of Higher Learning, for sponsoring the show. Residency and fellowship opportunities is what they offer. Check them out at brooksihl.org. Also, hosting their fourth annual scholarly symposium that's going on June 22nd in Jacksonville, Florida. Information about the symposium can be found at brooksihl.org. Keynote presentation this year by the editor of PTJ, Alan and Jetty. I'll be on hand doing some talks and some live podcasting. Looking for CEUs and to expand your knowledge base? Look no further than brooksihl.org.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Are you ready for three questions?
Yes.
Three questions brought to you by our sponsors and our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing. They're the innovation leaders in travel PT. Positions in all 50 states. And not just the position for physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, OTs, SLPs, the whole nine. The things that come with travel PT, the question marks, maybe the barriers that are keeping you from actually taking that leap and doing a travel assignment. How you get your license transferred over fast. What about housing, taxes, continuing education? They've got all that information. They've got people who know that information really well. They'll get you set up with that. So check them out online at AureusMedical.com. First question, Lauren, since Aureus has positions in all 50 states, you can go anywhere in the U.S. for 13-week assignment to do what you love doing, which is innovating as a PT. Where would you go?
I think I would stay in Colorado, but leave Denver and go to the mountains.
I like that. I was just in Denver not long ago for my first time. I loved it and looking forward to CSM 2020 going to head to your town.
Oh, nice.
We'll have a beer in person. Second question is, what's something that you've read recently that really inspired you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Could be a book, could be a blog, could be a quote, anything, anything you want.
So lately I've been reading the Harvard Business Review. I know, big nerd. But there was an article a couple of months ago about empathy and how when we look at empathy work and we figure out what the root cause of the problem is, we can actually find a solution. Whereas most of the time, we think we know the problem and immediately jump to solutions, but we don't do our due diligence in actually doing the empathy behind the issue and the problem, and that might change the solution. So that was really inspiring to hear.
Finding out that almighty why, it's pretty important, right?
Yes.
Yeah, starting from there. I like that. That's cool. Last question on three questions is, who is someone the audience should know more about? Maybe someone that you admire from afar or that you know personally, but who else should the audience be informed about?
I feel like I need to give a shout out to Meredith Kasten again. I think she has taken a really big leap with the non-clinical PT and making it feel like a more safe and normal space when you do decide to leave clinical care. And I know that when her and I touched base, it was really a sigh of relief to say, okay, I'm not the only person that feels this way. And so she has created a great community of non-clinical PTs, and she's just wonderful. So I would say her.
Love it. Yeah, you can find more about Meredith at thenonclinicalpt.com. She's also got a Facebook group. And when you get a bunch of people together who are experiencing the same feelings, maybe of guilt or maybe of not knowing where to go next, that's when some real cool magic really, really happens. And you can start to get some solutions. So check out that website, even if you're thinking about, hey, maybe I want to do a side gig that's non-clinical related. Test it out. And again, she's got a bunch of great interviews and information at thenonclinicalpt.com. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from Aureus Medical Staffing. Check them out online at AureusMedical.com. They're at all the major conferences. I'm always doing interviews at their booths. So if you're ever looking for them, just get the information, no obligation in terms of learning about travel physical therapy and what that entails. I bet you when you get a little more information, you might just take that leap when you remove those barriers. AureusMedical.com. Last thing we do on the show, Lauren, is your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
What's your mic drop moment? What's something you want to leave with the audience?
Oh, you could have warned me about this one.
Never warn them about the parting shot. What would you say to a bunch of people who are on the fence, like they're feeling the exact same thing you are, but they're working in clinic and they feel stuck? What would your word of advice be for that?
So my word of advice would be, think about what you actually want in a role and in a position and where your strengths lie. For me, I sat down and I wrote all of that down, and I realized that what I needed most in my life at that time was I needed to be able to see a career path and growth, and I needed flexibility to be able to be with my family. And then I started thinking about what my strengths were and what I enjoyed doing, and it was connecting people and working on different things and having days that looked totally different from one another. And that's how I even started a job search of what my next jump was going to be after clinical care.
Love that. Yeah, look, start with the end in mind. You know, what is your goal? What do you want to get out of this? And if it's not 100% clinical care, that's okay. Start with that. It's okay. And then figure
out
start with what drives you next to figure out where you're going to land. Again, I want to give a shout out to Meredith for the nonclinicalpt.com for setting this up. You can check out interviews of other nonclinical PTs, OTs, and SLPs and figure out what they're doing. And maybe it's something you'd like to do. Lauren, if someone wanted to reach out to you, is there an email address that's good or a website, or what do you want to give people to reach out?
Yeah, sure. Feel free to email me. It's lekealy, K-E-A-L-Y, @gmail.com. I am happy to talk about any questions that you might have about leaving clinical care.
Love it. Lauren, appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us some insight.
Sure.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. ptpinecast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast supports Team Gleason, led by Steve Gleason. Steve played for the New Orleans Saints from 2000 to 2008. He will always be remembered for his blocked punt on the night the Louisiana Superdome reopened for the first time after Hurricane Katrina. In 2011, Steve was diagnosed with ALS, a considered terminal neuromuscular disease. It is his mission to show that patients can not only live, but thrive after this diagnosis. In doing so, he hopes to inspire others to do the same. Steve and his wife, Michelle, formed Team Gleason. Their mission is to provide individuals with neuromuscular diseases or injuries with leading-edge technology, equipment, and services. Create a global conversation about ALS to ultimately find solutions and an end to the disease. Find out more at teamgleason.org.